Welcome to Chart and Compass Ministry, a ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral, helping you to navigate through the storms of this life by the ever-accurate compass of the Word of God. I'm pleased to share with you today another message from Pastor Greg Lucier, and the message today is titled, Should I Fear God or Not? And I want to ask you, why should we fear God? And why do so many pastors today teach the love of Christ but leave the fearing God part out of their message?
Well, last week we talked together about wisdom, and we read Psalm 111, which reads like this, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who practice it. And today I'd like to talk with you about the fear of the Lord. Yes, the fear of the Lord. And I want to ask, should we indeed fear God or not? What do you think? Should we tremble before Him or should we be at ease? What does it mean to fear the Lord? Does that mean we're going to be cringing and forever terrified before the Lord? Or should we not fear God at all? Or what does it mean to fear the Lord? Well, let's see what that God has to say to us about that today in His holy word as we look together at God's scriptures. Should we fear God or not? What can we say about that? Well, first thing I'd like to say in this sermon is that unlike some other sermons, I'm just going to tell you the answer here right at the start. I'm not going to string you along at all. Here's the question. Should we fear God or not? And the answer to that question from Scripture is yes, right? Should we fear Him or should we not fear Him? The answer is yes. And that might sound kind of like, what? That can't be the answer. Two things that seem contrary to each other. I don't understand. How do those two go together? Well, let's talk about that today. And let's break the sermon down into three parts so you'll know where I am. Part one is why we should fear the Lord. Part two is why we should not fear the Lord. Part three is how do those two go together. You with me? All right, so let's take a look at question number one to start. Why should we fear the Lord God and tremble before Him? Well, God gives us several reasons in the Scriptures. Here are several of them. Number one reason is because He tells us to. Say that. He tells me to. There you go. Deuteronomy 6, you shall fear the Lord your God. You shall serve Him and swear by His name. You shall not go after other gods, etc. Joshua chapter 24, now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in faithfulness. 2 Kings 4, verse 39, but you shall fear the Lord your God, etc. I could go on and on. Right? So God tells us to. And why? Here's point number two, is because God says, fear me because I am great in majesty. I'm wondrous in power. I'm terrible in strength and holiness. Amen? Think about what He says in Jeremiah chapter 5. God says to His people, hear this, O foolish and senseless people, who have eyes but see not, who have ears but hear not. Do you not fear me, says the Lord? I place the sand as the bound for the sea, a perpetual barrier which it cannot pass. Though the waves toss, they cannot prevail. Though they roar, they cannot pass over it. So would you not fear a God like this, who has that kind of power and strength? Would you not tremble to stand before Him? Check out, for example, your bulletin cover. Take a look at that right now. See this picture of a lion? Then we have those words, do you not fear me, says the Lord. I place the sand as the bound for the sea. And you see a wonderful sea behind this great king, the lion. Wouldn't you fear a God? Wouldn't you fear a lion if you met such a one in the wilderness? Imagine you're out there in the wilderness and you're walking on the savanna, on a safari, and you're not with anybody else, and you're out on the open plain. Now let's up the ante a little bit. You're naked. You don't have any clothes. You're totally exposed and bare. You have no weapons, no arms, nowhere to escape to, and all of a sudden you meet this guy, the lion, and he's staring at you, would you not tremble before him, before such a lion as that? Well, should not man tremble before the Lord when this lion says, I placed the sand as the barrier for the sea that it cannot pass, and I created the sea, and though the waves toss, they cannot prevail. Though they roar, they cannot pass over his perpetual boundary. So would that the world would hear such a message as this, right? Because the world doesn't fear the Lord. But God says, fear him, for he is with power like that of a lion, but beyond all comparison. Should we not fear such a God who is great in power, wondrous in majesty, and terrifying in strength? Believe me. Well, that's point number two. Now, how about number three here? We should also fear him because in his power, he's unrestrained in it. What do I mean by that? If he is a lion, if he's like a lion, he is one who is not on a leash. He is not tame. He can do with his power whatever he wants. He can have that power to harm or to kill, like a lion would, or to save or to destroy. And he's totally free in this. Once again, imagine you meet that lion out there in the plain. You're naked, you're exposed, you're bare, you have nowhere to run, you have no weapons, and you see him standing there before you. And what do you realize at that moment? He can do whatever he wants with you. And that is a scary proposition, isn't it? Not only is God great in power, but he's totally free in his exercise of that power, and none can stay his hand. As it says in Daniel chapter 4, none can stay his hand or say to him, what are you doing, right? Isn't this our God? Say amen. Know that God has the power to harm, to destroy, to kill, or to save. Will you not fear him for this? God said in Deuteronomy 32, see now that I, even I am he, and there is no God besides me. I kill and I make alive, I wound and I heal, and there is none who can deliver out of my hand. And I love these words that God said to Job to put him into his place, put him into fear. Chapter 40, God says, Job, have you an arm like God? Can you thunder with a voice like his? Deck yourself with majesty and dignity. Clothe yourself with glory and splendor. Can you pour forth the overflowings of your anger and look on everyone that is proud and abase him? Look on everyone that is proud and bring him low and tread down the wicked where they stand. Hide them all in the dust together. Bind their faces in the world below. Then will I also acknowledge to you that your own right hand can give you victory. I just love that. Job is totally humbled by that, and so should we be, right? The lion can do these things. We can't. Victory belongs to him. So he's terrifying in power. Remember what Jesus said, or what is said of Jesus. He is the lion of the tribe of Judah. That's Revelation chapter 5, right? And so I think as Americans, don't you think that we've forgotten the fear of the Lord? Maybe based on our prosperity in our days, and we don't have enemies so much in our generation, that we've forgotten. And we take a look at lions like this, right? If you see this lion, you're like, yeah, I'm not really afraid of him. He's a picture on a bulletin cover. Okay. Or you might think, the lions I see, Pastor, are on TV. I'm not afraid of those lions. Or when I go to the zoo, I've seen one in a pit. Or I've seen one in a cage. I'm not afraid of lions. But then you occasionally hear of someone who at a zoo is drunk or something and falls into the lion's den, into the walled area of the zoo where the lions are. And then all of a sudden, guess what? The fun is over, right? And all of a sudden you stand there in stark terror and you're like, oh, this beast can do with me whatever he wants. And sudden panic strikes you. Well, it's the same with God. If that's the case for a lion, how much more with our God? And Jesus himself said in Luke 12, I tell you, my friends, don't fear those who can kill the body and after that have nothing more that they can do. Fear him who after he has killed has the power to cast into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. That's Jesus' own word. So should we fear the Lord? Jesus says yes. So he's free. He's not on a leash. He's not bound to us. He's not a pussycat. Third, the world of men should fear God because this lion, this God has promised in his word to avenge all wrongdoing that's done on the earth, for he is a righteous king. And doesn't that put you into fear? That God is an avenger of wrongdoings? He returns people's deeds back upon their own head? I know I shudder when I hear that, because I think on his power, his majesty, his justice, and my wrongdoing, and I shudder at such a thought, for he is a just king, and I know I've done wrong. And we hear in the Bible, God warns the earth. Deuteronomy 32, vengeance is mine, says the Lord, and recompense for the time when their foot shall slip, for the day of their calamity is at hand, and their doom comes swiftly. Oh, how swift the lion attacks when you don't even see him coming, right? It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. It's a what thing? Thank you. Hebrews 10. Jesus says, I tell you, on the day of judgment, when men will render account for every careless word they utter. And Isaiah 26 says, behold, the Lord is coming forth out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity, and the earth will disclose the blood shed upon her and will no more cover her slain. What is that? What is that like telling you? That means you're out walking on the savannah at night and you don't think there's any lions out there, but all of a sudden this word is saying he's coming out of his den, out of his covert. He's not forgetting all the injustices done on the earth. Beware the lion. So it says, and consider, is God serious? Or does he just kid around when he comes to vengeance? Well, take a look at Adam and Eve. Just ask our great-great-great-grandparents. They were driven out of the garden for one sin, and an angel with a flaming sword guarded the way to the tree of life that they should not return. Remember Uzzah? Whenever I read that in the Old Testament, the story of Uzzah, I tremble with fear. Because he just reached out his hand to steady the ark of God when the oxen stumbled, and as soon as he touched the ark, boom, God slew him. And he died there beside the ark. And I read that and I'm like, whoa. You ever just get to the Old Testament? I've heard people reading the Old Testament, they say, Pastor, I never knew the fear of the Lord until I read this. How about this one? Korah. Remember that story? What happened with him? Well, he was vaunting himself against Moses and challenging his authority. And what did God say? He said to Moses, tell the people of Israel, get away from the tents of Korah. What does that mean to you? Get away from the tents of Korah means stand back. I'm coming. And he came and he slew them. In other words, he opened the ground, it split asunder, and he swallowed Korah, all his goods and family. Swallowed them. Genesis 19, remember the Lord rained on Sodom and Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And you can go to those places today, and what's there? Sulfur pits. It's still the Dead Sea. It's called the Dead Sea. God slew. But as at that time, so it is on this earth, no one takes this seriously, right? There's no fear of the Lord, as Abraham said, before their eyes. And it's like in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, when the angels came and they told Lot, get out of the city quickly, for the Lord has sent us to destroy it. And Lot goes to his sons-in-law and his daughters, and he says, up, out of this place. The Lord's about to destroy the city. And we read in there, in Genesis 19, but he seemed to his sons-in-law to be jesting, right? When I preach this sermon or to the world or something, and I preach the fear of the Lord, they're like, ah, he's jesting. That's not really true. You know what God is? God's just a cosmic pussycat. He's just a cute little cuddly kitten. Or he's not there at all, they would say. But you know what? That's like walking out as an American ignorant tourist out onto the savannah at night in Africa. And you just wander out there without a care in the world, not believing in lions. Guess what? You're in a different country now. There's a lion out there, and his steely eyes are watching you, your every move from the dark, though you don't know he's there. And so the world should fear the Lord for that reason as well. And finally, the world should fear the Lord because his eyes are indeed everywhere, right? Do you know that he's watching us right now? Watching our every move? His eyes look and pierce into you to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow. Do you feel naked and exposed before this king? It says, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. In Proverbs 15 and Proverbs 5, why should you be infatuated, my son, with a loose woman and embrace the bosom of an adventuress? For a man's ways are before the eyes of the Lord, and he watches all his paths. The iniquities of the wicked ensnare him. He's caught in the toils of his sin. He dies for lack of discipline, and because of great folly, he's lost. Does that make you afraid? You know, it's by the fear of the Lord that man departs from evil. Do you know he's watching you at every moment? And God brings a man's deeds back upon his own head. God's eyes test, it says in Psalm 11, the children of men. He tests the righteous and the wicked, and his soul hates him that loves violence. On the wicked he'll rain coals of fire and brimstone. A scorching wind shall be the portion of their cup. For the Lord is righteous, and he loves righteous deeds. The upright shall behold his face. So mark this then, and make no mistake. By the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. Amen? Oh, that was quiet. Amen. Oh, even quieter. You know what? Because sentence against an evil deed is executed speedily, the heart of the sons of men is fully set upon doing evil, it says in Ecclesiastes. And that's why we're seeing so much evil in the world today. Villainy and people mistreating each other, they don't fear the Lord. They don't believe he sees. Psalm 10, in the pride of his countenance, the wicked does not seek him. All his thoughts are, there is no God. And he thinks in his heart, God has forgotten. He's hidden his face. He will never see it. But what I say to you, I say also to the world, beware the lion, for he comes to judge the earth, the lion of the tribe of Judah. Will you take heed? So, should we fear God? That's my number one question. The answer, for this, these, and many more reasons, the answer is yes and amen. Okay, that's question number one. We're now on to part two of the sermon, which is this question. Why should we not fear God? I mean, after all I've just said, how can you ever be before his presence and not be in fear of him? Well, we should always have a holy fear of the Lord, a godly one. But here are now some reasons not to fear God. First of all, God says this in Scripture, Psalm 25. Let me read it to you. And listen carefully. Verse 14, he says, the friendship of the Lord is for those who fear him, and he makes known to them his covenant. Let's all breathe a sigh of relief. The friendship of the Lord is for those who fear him, and he makes known to them his covenant. And here I'll share a great paradox with you. Ready? See if you can follow this. Those who do not fear God have everything to fear from him, but those who fear God have nothing to fear. Isn't that beautiful? Woo! Those who do not fear God have everything to fear. Those who fear him have nothing to fear. Why? Because the what? The friendship of the Lord is for those who fear him, and he makes known to them his covenant. Let's go back to the lion on the savannah. I hate to keep taking your clothes off today, but you're naked and exposed. You're out on the savannah. You are indefensible. Not a weapon, no truck, no people, nowhere to run, nowhere to escape. And all of a sudden you see before you a lion, and you are totally at his mercy. His eyes are upon you, penetrating to the division of your soul and spirit, and you feel totally naked. And he begins to walk over to you. And then your heart palpitates and pounds and trembles. And then you feel his hot breath upon your face. And then his massive claws. And he rears up and he comes over and he gives you a hug. And then his great tongue licks your face with a kiss. And he says, fear not, my friendship is for those who fear me. And you go, oh, okay, all right. And you begin to get a little relaxed, and you're overjoyed that he spared your life. But you're not entirely at ease, for he is yet a lion, right? And so the next thing he says to you is this, Isaiah 66. This is the man to whom I will look, says the Lord. He that is humble and contrite in spirit, and who trembles at my word. So you're shaking in your boots, at his word, and he says, "Fear not, my friendship is for those who tremble at my word." And Isaiah 41, you're still a little nervous, so he says, "Fear not, you worm Jacob, you men of Israel. I will help you, says the Lord. Your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel, for I, the Lord your God, hold your right hand. It is I who say to you, fear not, I will help you." Can you hear those words today, not just from me, but from God? Fear not, for I will help you. Isn't that beautiful? Like our God loves us like this? So you're a little more at ease. You're not a little comforted. And you begin to look at his eyes and see that he means what he says. Indeed, he bestows his friendship on you. But his eyes are so piercing as to dividing the inward parts of you, of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, that you still tremble and are troubled again. You say, "Oh, my king, what of my sins, though? For I've sinned against you. I've done terribly in life. I've hurt your subjects. I have been cross to my neighbors. I am not worthy, O king, to be your friend." At this, he takes a long pause. Pause. Looking deeply into you. And then he says, Joel 2, "The earth quakes, the heavens tremble. The sun and the moon are darkened. The stars withdraw their shining. The Lord utters his voice before his army. His host is exceedingly great. He that executes his word is powerful. The day of the Lord is great and very terrible. Who can endure it? Yet even now, says the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. Rend your hearts and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love." Oh, isn't that great? God's calling us today to that very thing. He says, "I'm slow to anger." And then the lion says to you, "Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be like scarlet, I'll make them as white as snow. Though they're red like crimson, they shall become like wool." Wow. You say, "But how, Lord?" And then he answers you with a deep voice, "By my son, Jesus. For I so loved the world, and I so loved you that I gave him, my son Jesus, that you, believing on him, might not perish, but have eternal life." Do you believe that word today? John 3:16. So the king speaks to you. He says, lion says, "Look out to the east as far as you can see. Now to the west. That's as far as I've removed your sins from you. And I have loved you to save you from my wrath, to forgive you, to justify you, that you might even become my own son." Check it out. Jesus said, "I tell you, I'll warn you whom to fear. Fear whom who after he's killed has the power to cast into hell. Yes, fear him." But then what's Jesus say next? He says, "But are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 pennies? Not one is forgotten before your father. Fear not, therefore. You're of more value than many sparrows." Do you know that God cares for you? The God who created you? That's a reason not to fear him, because he loves you. And he deals gently and tenderly with those who fear him. Even the hairs of your head are all numbered. And Isaiah 41, "Fear not, for I'm with you. Don't be dismayed, for I'm your God. I'll strengthen you. I'll help you. I'll uphold you with my victorious right hand." Check out the lion. Then at last you look into his eyes, and you see that they are shining in a great love for you. And you leap into his arms and put your arms around his, rest your head on his great mane, and you rejoice, for you finally believe that indeed he has loved you, and there is nothing to fear. For the friendship of the Lord is for those who fear him, and holy is the Lord. And we're always to remember that he's a lion, but we're comforted in the words of the king, where Jesus so often said, "It is I, take heart, don't be afraid." Isn't that beautiful? And you know that this fear of the Lord, now entering into his love, destroys all the other fears of your life, if you believe it, and believe it more and more. For again, he says, "In your trouble, in your sickness, in your challenges, in your depression," or whatever, he says, "It's I, don't be afraid, my hand will help you." If this God is for us, who can be against us? Who can bring any charge against God's elect, whom God has justified? What do we have to fear from life when you have a lion with you? Guess what? Our God, after you know, after someone dies, he can say, get up. And the person comes to life again. He can speak to all your troubles, even as you face them. He says, don't be worried. I'm with you. I'm going to help you through these things. I'll uphold you with my right hand. Don't be afraid. Remember the God who's with you. And then he says, Isaiah 41, when the poor and the needy seek water, and there's none, their tongue is parched with thirst, I, the Lord, will answer them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I'll open rivers on the bare heights and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I'll make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water. How about even when you die? Remember when John saw Jesus in Revelation and he fell down before him in great fear and Jesus lays his right hand on him saying, don't be afraid, it's I. He says, I'm the first and the last and the living one. I died. Behold, I'm alive forevermore and I have the keys of death and Hades. Don't be afraid. And John even says in his letter that if we confess Jesus as the Son of God, God is abiding in us. We know and believe the love God has for us, and we have confidence for the day of judgment because there's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment, and he who fears is not perfected in love. So, do you fear the Lord? Say amen. Amen. Do you have anything to fear from the Lord now, therefore? No. Amen. You don't need to, because he is for you in Jesus Christ. So how then do we put these two things together? That's the third and last part of the sermon. Fear the Lord and don't fear him. Well, we always remember that he's a lion, right? He is unbridled. He is untamed. He is not on a leash. He's terrifying and great in power and majesty. But at the same time, he is good. Say that. He is good. And he loves you. And his friendship is for you. And Naomi, when I raised her, from a little tiny baby, she had to learn the fear of her dad, didn't she? I've told you that story. When she first could crawl and she went over to that light socket and she wanted to put her finger in it, I said, don't do that, Naomi, or I'll discipline you. She's like, discipline? What's that? She thinks in her head. She can't talk yet. She goes over and touches the light socket. I slap her wrist, smacked it, and she cried. And then a second time now, she's on a roll. I say, Naomi, don't touch that light socket. And this time she's defiant, and she goes over there and sticks her finger right toward it, and I smack her on the hand, and she cries again. And then the third time, I say, don't touch that light socket. And she begins to go over there and stick her finger toward it, and then she goes, looks at me, looks at the light socket, looks at me, looks at the light socket, remembers the smacking, and she goes, whoop, off in the other direction. She learned the fear of her dad, and that was good because she learned to delight in the boundaries. They were kept her safe. But that didn't keep her from jumping into my arms and loving her and feeling at ease around me. And as we grew older, we used a spoon with her. We've put that away at 14. I don't use that against her. I hardly have to discipline her at all. And there's coming a day when there is no more need for any of these things, just love reigning supreme. And so with us and God. We need to fear him, but also there's nothing to fear, and both of these we keep in our hearts at the same time. For Paul says, you didn't receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you've received the spirit of friendship. And we'll conclude then with this word, Isaiah 43. God says, but now thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I've called you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. And through the rivers they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flames shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message called, Should I Fear God or Not? A broadcast of Chart and Compass Ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral. Thanks for tuning in. And I look forward to sharing God's Word with you again next Monday at 12:30. Have a wonderful week. In our Lord Jesus Christ, the great captain of our souls, God bless you.